This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ooh, are you trying to get your mug a beat? Are you trying to contour those brow bones? Maybe you're trying to lift those cheeks, mommy. Well, if you're going to do it, you need to do it with a quality product. That's why I am tired of beauty products not meeting my standards. It's time to reshape the beauty world as we know it. Well, wait no longer. Meet Worthy We Cosmetics, the first sustainable luxury beauty brand in the U.S. I love Worthy We because they have amazing cream bronze tours, as they say them, which is sort of like this cream blush that sculpts your skin and also like covers all the imperfections. As a newer drag queen, I need help from a gorgeous product like this because Worthy We Cosmetics are vegan, cruelty-free, and even the packaging is biodegradable. So not only do I get my bronze tour shade like perfectly blended into my mug, I'm able to build like a new beauty routine. It's so easy to use unlike some products that are confusing. These cream blushes are buildable in a way that you can't go wrong. Like they're unbelievable. They're unrivaled. It's become a beauty favorite for me. Truly, the wear and finish is smooth, clean. I know you're going to love them as much as I do, especially if someone like me who's brand new to creams and contourings, if you're as new as I am and you could look as smooth as this skin is looking, you're going to love it. So treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand right now. Treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20%, oh my God, 20% off your first order at Worthy We Cosmetics, spelled WORTHYOUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER. That's Worthy OUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER for 20% off your first order.
Sunshade,
Kiki with the gaze.
It's time to drag her.
Whoa! Oh my God! You're listening to the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Podcast on the whole internet. What an honor for you. What a delight. Hello, distinguished panel of judges. The dais is full. We are so excited to have our guest with us today. Comedy legend. Sorry, I don't want to make him blush, but comedy legend, genius, writer, actor. He's in Barb and Star, holy shit, which is new queer canon. I don't know if you know this, Michael, but it's queer canon.
I've heard rumor.
Michael Hitchcock.
Hi, everybody. How are you out in Podland?
Ooh, I think they're doing good. It's a good day. Michael, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is going to be a lot of fun, and we might even have a special guest drop in.
We might. We just damn might. You know, Passover is trying to take this person from us, but we won't allow it.
No. They're not going to pass over this podcast.
Woo! Michael, we are in a drag race bracket thing. What is it called? Fantasy League. We're in a drag race fantasy league together.
Right. And I honestly forgot who I picked.
Me too. I know I picked Simone and Gottmik. Like, I knew they were towards my top.
I know Gottmik for sure, and I'm hoping Simone because I love her so much.
So
but
great.
For some reason, I can't remember how to log into whatever I did. I didn't print it out. Uh-huh. So,
yeah, it's hard to log into. It's confusing.
TVFantasyLeagues.org. Oh, yeah. It's not meant for me.
It's very Reddit-y. It's not super user friendly.
Right. Plus I'm 90 years old, so you're lucky I'm awake right now.
I am so glad you're awake. I'm glad you've taken your meds.
I've taken most of my meds. I had a nap.
You are a spring chicken. I mean,
thank you.
I mean, especially compared to that old bird. RuPaul roast. There we go.
Wow.
Got her.
You're supposed to be nice girl roast, and you're already being mean.
I can't do it. I'm dark-sided.
Yeah.
Michael, wait. Okay, so we were talking about Drag Race. You've seen all the seasons. Do you remember, you remember what got you into it? What was the first season you saw?
I think a friend of mine said, you've got to watch, you know, RuPaul, that it's super fun, and that it's like, a beauty contest, but with drag queens. And I thought, that sounds awful. And I don't want to watch it.
Shut up.
And then I'm telling you, that's exactly what I thought at the time. And then I watched I think I started season two, and then I went back and watched season one. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with it from the second I started and have never looked back.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So do you have a favorite queen? Like, obviously they're all great, but do you have a queen who you're like, that queen speaks to me?
There's several, but I mean, different ones for different times, but I really like Benda LaCreme, just partly because of just all of it. But I mean, Bianca is fantastic. Alyssa Edwards is fantastic. I can't get enough of Vanjie, like everyone in the world. Alexis Mateo. I mean, there's so many great ones. Love. Latrice Royale.
Yes, I think this speaks to, I'm going to say we're a little obsessed with comedy, and sometimes it's easier to fall for these personality comedy queens for me.
Right. And Angina from season one, who just broke your heart and wrapped it up and ate it.
That too. And then, I mean, do you ever watch the All-Stars franchises?
Sure. Yeah.
My God, yeah, that was a heartbreak too, where she wouldn't just be greedy, be selfish, be a monster.
But I just, and we can talk about this later, but, and I'm sure you've talked about it a million times, but I can't imagine, and I just talked with this friend today about this. Like, if I had to be on the show, and then he went right away, went, hold up, you're never going to be on the show. Way too old to be on the show. The oldest person has been 40. It's not going to happen. I'm saying, let's just put that aside. Like, how hard it is. Like, how immense, and just... Every challenge is extremely difficult, even the mini challenges.
Yeah, and it's super challenging.
Yeah.
Like, and you have to be good at absolutely everything.
Everything. And as we see, that is very hard to do, as we saw, you know, for this episode.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that, but.
I can't wait. Because, okay, you are a nice guy. And I don't even know you, but I can tell you're a nice guy.
Most of the time.
But have you ever done a roast? Could you do a roast?
Have I ever done a roast? No, I've never done a roast. And I thought about that a lot because, you know, you think about obviously the RuPaul roast, but like the Comedy Central roast, the people on those roast panels are tried and true stand-ups and they have a bevy of writers helping them.
Totally.
So when you see one of those big slick roast shows, there's a million people who've written those jokes. And to think that these queens have to sit down and have a day to think of their own jokes, and maybe they get a little help here and there, it's near to impossible. And that
especially
any of
after
them,
they already did the reading challenge, you're like, fuck, I already used a lot of good jokes. Okay,
right. And that's why it wasn't that surprising that Candy did so well, because I'm sure she, you know, hosts a lot of club stuff and. The people that do that, you know, have a bit of an advantage. And, you know, I think that's why she was so good.
They talked about that. Yeah, right. The queens who are, especially in New York, who are, you have to be ready to snap back at audience. And you have to kind of make it funny to keep the beat going, keep the room alive. Yeah.
And and to do it in a club setting where most of the people aren't even paying attention, like they're drunk or they're leaving the room. Or they're, you know, somebody's dancing by themselves, or, you know, just crazy stuff are happening. And, you know, you learn by fire, basically, in those rooms. So good for them.
I want to talk about the show, but if I don't ask this now, we'll never get to talk about it. Barb and Star.
Yeah. What do you want to know?
I just want to know, first of all, it is great. It is queer canon. I hope you know that. It's really exciting for everyone involved. How hard was it to do that dance routine? Was it easy? Was it hard?
Well, it wasn't. I mean, I only did a very small part of it. So, but yeah, because you get there and the choreography, we've shot the movie, my part. I was there for about 3 weeks in Cancun is where that was shot.
And amazing.
It was at a Hyatt hotel in Cancun where we overtook the lobby and all those beautiful colors you saw that look like Miami Vice on crack, that was all added in. That isn't what it really looks like.
Oh, interesting. Okay,
so that
amazing.
Was all, yeah, it was all built in. And
all the Golden Girls-ification is added
all
later.
All of it, yeah.
Love.
All of the flamingos and the feathers and the pinks and the aqua blues and all of that.
I love that.
And the whole movie has those colors. Our outfits had those colors. And,
totally.
So anyway, they roll out the pink carpet that they come down. And then they're like, okay, and now you're going to sing while moving backwards. And and then I added in a few of my own little twists and turns. So because the choreographer was like, oh, well, obviously he's unteachable. So so that's sort of how it worked. But everybody else there were professional dancers, obviously. But yeah, it was. And then the best part about that is I love musicals. I've worked on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, you know, as a writer and a performer sometimes.
Glee.
And then before that, Glee. So I'm very used to seeing like fun numbers in front of me. And that was no exception.
I have to out you. You said you worked on, you were working during the Let's Have a Kiki episode.
Yes, with Shangela.
Incredible.
We can talk about that. That was the very special Glee Thanksgiving with Sarah Jessica Parker comes to visit. And Shangela was there and she was great and did a great job, very professional. And yeah, did a good job. And
she's great.
If you haven't bought it yet, you've got to get the Glee version of Let's Have a Kiki mashed up with Turkey Lurkey Time.
It's such a... You're involved in a lot of queer canon, so congrats.
I am. I'm part of a lot of queer canon.
I love it. I love it. I mean, it's also like being a comedy weirdo is like so intertwined with queerness.
Yeah, it's like, so crazy. And it's fun if you ever go back and watch that particular number. You see Shangela, of course. She's all over it. But also Sarah Jessica Parker, and she looks beautiful. Her dress and everything's amazing.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I could talk about your life forever, but we have to move on.
All right. Okay. Back to RuPaul.
Back to RuPaul. Okay, let's try to talk at the top of the episode. Utica, well, I have deemed her toxic positivity. I think Rachel coined it. Toxic positivity. What do you think of this attitude of, wow, I won the lip sync and wasn't that great? And what did you guys think?
And then it was just sheer quiet. And you think, did the editors manipulate that? But I don't think they did. I don't think anyone
Not
answered.
Not much. I mean.
It's almost, and I don't want to cut down any queen because I know how hard it must be. But
yes.
She seems like there's two personalities at the same time because she almost started to cry. Like she should have gone home and
right.
And then all of a sudden, like on a dime, she turns and like, but wasn't that fun? And I had the best time. And what did you think about my lip sync? And
I think thought, the like, pressure whoa, got to her.
Maybe, I don't know. And then one of her confessionals was like, I want to put my best foot forward and I want to trip everyone to get to the top.
Yeah.
Bring on the crown. And I thought, oh boy, oh, that's going to come back and haunt you.
I will say just the first 5 minutes of this episode, I was like, we're headed for the single heaviest villain edit in any single episode of Drag Race history. I've never seen the show turn on a character this quickly. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, literally, RuPaul gave her the finger several times. And then a gesture they had crazy. To completely, like, I wonder what that gesture was.
You want to hear my guess, Michael?
Yes. Yeah, I want to hear what the guess is.
I think it was a fist. I think
a
it was
fist
a fist
up a, like a,
yeah. A fist up a hole, even.
Right.
I think there's even a loop of fingers, I
right.
think. Because,
so, yeah.
Yeah, I have the uncensored. I always buy the uncensored episodes on iTunes, and it was blurred on that, too.
It was. Even on iTunes?
Yes, even on iTunes, which
is
infuriating. What am I paying for?
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, they said cunt, and you know we got our cunts and our fucks in there, but they still.
Oh, did you watch this one on that? Because I need to know about the Skittles joke later.
Oh, I wrote it down.
Oh, good, because I thought like, what is that?
What?
I think the first word was shit, but I'm not sure what
I'll
the other
what,
word was.
The math is off. The math is not there. The comedy math is wrong.
Okay. I mean, I paused it
Shocker.
And watched it again. And I was trying to figure out what are the words they bleeped.
Let me
But we can
see.
Get to that later.
Okay. Yeah. We'll tease everyone, you and the listeners.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to say, Utica's a great queen. She since apologized, all that stuff. But this lack, her lack of a grasp on reality is, it just scares me. It scares me, and I don't want to attack her faith, but it feels a little bit connected to her incredible positivity and faith, and that's all I'm going to say.
Well, I don't know what's happening, but no matter what religion you are, you should listen to the judges. If they tell you, basically, don't do it.
Don't do it. We've had a lot of roast roast errors, I feel, in Drag Race history are the least forgiven.
Yeah, it's so strange. It's almost like the whole, it's sort of like, you know, with Snatch Game, where it's like, you know, if they say, maybe don't do that, then don't do that. I don't know. Right. I mean, it's almost never worked. So I can't think of a time. I mean, every once in a while, they pull something up.
Rarely. Like Gigi Good, I think, pulled off the robot where they were like, don't do that. She's like, I'm going to do it.
Right.
Rare exception. Right.
But we'll get to the Utica's thing later. But boy, they gave her every note and they could not have been more clear.
Uh-huh.
And every joke was repeated. And
Terrible. We've all been there. And I think we've all helped people through, you know, you can help someone. Anyone can be funny. And I think she is funny. But this was really tough. And I think... Yeah, I think she should have just, I don't know, her brain is a labyrinth of madness. Her brain is a shining hedge maze that...
Right, because I mean, her great qualities are like her sense of fashion is so unique.
So good.
And it sounds like she makes her clothes herself, right?
Yes. I mean, that sleeping bag thing, incredible.
It seems that isn't happening anymore. Most of them look like they're sourcing that out.
Totally.
So that she can do that is a huge, huge like plus in my book.
It's very impressive.
And her body and how she can move it and all that, is incredible. And the comedy thing, I mean, I've gone to stand-up shows where I've seen a stand-up comic bomb. Mm-hmm. I go back a year later, he's doing the same routine, and it and it's fantastic because he's worked a year on the road.
Me and you have done terrible shows at some point.
I've done so many bad, I can't tell you how many bad things I've done. I had one time I was doing an improv. No, it was a written piece, actually. I was trying out for the first time at this theater in LA called The Groundlings. And we have to buy all our own stuff. So I went to Goodwill and had bought what I thought was the shiny futuristic suit, which would be so funny. Well, the piece was bombing and it was going horribly. And as I was doing it, I realized that whoever wore the suit last had peed in it. So this whole, like the smell of urine came up and wafted into my face. And I just like blanked. I couldn't think of anything. And they turned the lights off on me.
Oh my God.
And then I just took the suit off and threw it in a corner. And for all I know, it's still in the Groundlings corner somewhere.
A lot of cursed stuff in those halls. Oh
my God. But yeah.
That's incredible.
So
I've been
humiliating.
There.
So humiliating.
And you know, you need those to get to the good places.
You
so
do.
One day Utica's going to kill a roast. I don't know where.
Yeah, no, she absolutely will. It's only a question of time. If you think it's their first time doing it and they did... You know, and she did get off a couple of jokes.
Yeah, she
really
had some
funny
in there.
But then not so much.
Not so much. Well, speaking of improv, let's talk about this short form game they make the girls play.
Yeah.
Which is, it's hard to not laugh at someone else's hands are your hands.
Yes. That's like, that's a game I've seen on stage several times. And they teach it in class and it's fun and...
It's great.
You know, so yes, it's fun. I thought like, and plus, you know, we were watching basically a 5-minute infomercial for the cosmetics.
Uh-huh, for Norvina.
So yeah, Norvina.
I'm not getting paid. Why am I bringing it up? But it's Norvina by Anastasia Beverly Hills.
Yeah, and Norvina was like Jessica Rabbit. Talk about a drag queen.
Yeah, I love that. I did love that, like, this is how I'm living my life. Great.
I thought, boy, she started, you know, I don't know, at 2 a.m. to get into that outfit.
I definitely grew up with women like Norvina who are just like, this is how I live my life. I live my life with a smoky cat eye at 12 noon. That's what I'm doing.
Well, I don't know many people like that. And I was fascinated with Norvina, just honestly. But did you think on this one that, I mean, obviously Roseanne Candy had the messiest face and it was very, very funny.
Yeah.
But I kind of thought Mick and Utica were great too. Because of the arms.
The arms, you just can't deny the good physicality of those big damn arms. I did think Gottmik and Utica were just a hair funnier for me.
I did too. And plus Gottmik said things like, you know, doesn't it look like I'm a Jenner now? I mean, that's hilarious. So
yes.
Yeah, she was doing great.
She was doing great.
But Rosé did stuff too. Like Rosé led sometimes, because sometimes, you know, the arms do whatever. But Rosé said things like, you can always overdraw your lips for a sexy pouty look. And then, you know, Candy was smart enough to do it.
The justifications were really key. And that's how you have with that whole game.
They worked together great.
I think this was a little bit of production chicanery, because I think it's they wanted Candy and Rosé in the power seat as opposed to Gottmik and Utica.
I agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree. It had to be little shenanigans with the producers, but because I felt the same way, I thought that Gottmik and Utica were, it was funnier, but the face, you could argue that the face on Rosé and Candy were funnier, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's like I genuinely loved how joyful this was. I love that everyone did well, even Simone and Olivia.
Oh yeah, they were funny too. It didn't read as well. But,
yeah, it didn't pop. I think Simone's arms are so funny. Why wouldn't you make her the arm person? Her arms are so freaking expressive. Like,
yes.
Give it to her. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Oh, well. Who knows? It happens.
It happens. So now they're prepping for this roast. We get a mask shout out. We're now in this mask moment.
Oh, yeah.
We get the whole Valentina.
Paul Lind. I don't know if they saw, but there was a Paul Lind impression.
Yes.
RuPaul did Paul Lind.
Thank you, Dr. Fauci. I don't know. My Paul Lind just became very like Snow White witch, but
yeah. I'm terrible with impressions, but I like when there's something referenced that everybody should know about in the gay community.
Uh-huh.
And throwing in Paul Lind was great. And,
you got,
nice
I know, and the younger
him.
These queens get, the more they're missing Rue's references. Like, there was a Vitamita Vegemin reference last week or something. I don't know.
Well, what about which one didn't know who Diana Ross was?
Oh, God.
Like, that was crazy.
In season 5, you mean?
Yeah, that was like, what? The disco episode. It's like they didn't know who any of the people were. I thought, what?
Yeah. There should be gay owls in the Harry Potter tradition. There should be a gay owl who comes by your home when you're queer, drops off just an Encyclopedia Britannica with a Q, and you just educate yourself on some of this queer stuff. That would be.
However,
ideal.
We did have one, and I can't say who it is because that isn't fair. But we did have a Glee cast member who was young who didn't know who the Beatles were.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened too.
It happens. It just happens.
So yeah, but just if you're if you're a certain age, you don't know anything.
it happens. It happens.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
It blows me away. So they're deciding the order, and you know, here's the classic Drag Race moment: do you fuck with people or do you just create a good show? Like. What do you think?
I think they created a good show. I thought their whole strategy was exactly right. And Candy was in her testimonial. I thought she was very, very honest in the sense that, hey, I am not great with coming up with zingers on the, you know, at the last second. And I don't want to have thought of a joke and then someone else already said it and now I'm screwed.
I agree. You know, I think that's genius. Going
first. It was,
and
it was kind of genius that she complimented Rosé to get Rosé to be last, too.
Yes.
But to put I thought it was also interesting that Gottmik thought that she would bomb, but they knew enough that she would be good because they put her in the middle. So they knew that she would do better than she thought she would do.
I wasn't worried about Gottmik for a second. You know, like.
Yeah, she's been consistently.
Yeah,
very good.
Just cerebral and performance. And he's so like, he's just clearly like, I don't know. Yeah, cerebral, even in the workroom. So I was like, I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about exactly who I was worried about. who didn't do so well.
I mean, as a viewer, it is kind of fun to see a little bit of fuckery, but they, I think they genuinely like each other.
I do too.
Unlike
UK, have you seen the second season of UK yet?
I have not yet.
Okay.
And I've seen the first season. I have not. And I know they're just finishing up the third season.
Oh my God. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it's crazy. But everyone's loving the second season.
It's fantastic. You'll love it. I'll give you my WoW login.
Okay. Oh, thank you. I'm too busy watching on TLC. My feet are killing me. which is about feet operations. So
have you seen? I haven't seen that one. Have you seen Four Weddings on TLC?
Which one?
Four Weddings.
No, I haven't seen Four Weddings. I'm too busy watching the feet operations.
It's fucking crazy. Can you watch like pimple popping stuff and stuff like that?
Well, that's why I started My Feet Are Killing Me. I thought it would be like Dr. Pimple Popper, and it's so much worse. But I still somehow watch it, and sometimes during lunch.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't recommend it.
I hear you. Look, I have too many guilty pleasures to list here. Too many. One includes watching snippets of Judge Judy scream at people, and it just picks me up.
Well, Judge Judy doesn't listen to anybody, and I feel so sorry for anyone who goes on her show.
Yes.
She just argues the weirdest stuff, and you just think, I'd be so mad if I was on that show.
She takes a hard take, and like, that's it. That's her take.
I used to run on Mad TV, and we shared, we were on the same lot as Judge Judy. Mm-hmm. And we would share the same lunchroom. And our instructions were, you could never talk to Judge Judy. Don't talk to her. You're not allowed to talk to her.
It was
weird. It was like she was, you know,
that's
Michael Jackson or something. Like, you just couldn't look her in the eye. So I don't know.
Well, this brings up a good point. You worked on Mad TV, and obviously sketch comedy can go so severe, right?
Yes.
What advice would you give to these queens in a perfect world where you could have, like, how do you balance mean between sharp and fucking funny?
It is such a tightrope, and every year it changes, because mm-hmm. what is acceptable last year is not this year and won't
totally.
Be next year. And so it's always shifting. And I also think that's partly what with Utica, when remember with the squirrel head, when she wouldn't wear an afro, even though RuPaul
right.
said Bob Ross had an afro, giving her permission to do it,
right.
she still wouldn't do it, but she didn't want to offend anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that whole conundrum that's happening. And then with roasts, like what's mean and what's not mean. And a lot of times I think what works is if you compliment them and then kind of throw it in.
Right.
And that worked very well for Candy. She did it extremely well. And
yeah.
Rosé too. But and then to cut down yourself. Make a joke and then cut yourself down so that
mm-hmm.
you're also self-deprecating.
Mm-hmm. Take the piss.
Yeah. That seems
that
to be what's working better. But I think I would be like Utica. I think I would go out and tell offensive jokes that everyone hates.
No, you would not. Because here's the thing.
I don't know. I think it would happen. I think I would just go like, I think I would just source short circuit and it would just happen.
Here's a question I have for you. Would you go, because you do a lot of incredible character work. Would you do a roast as in character or yourself?
I don't know. I don't think I'd try to do it either way. If I could do it in character, no one knew it was me. But yeah, I don't know. It's rough.
Yeah. I weirdly think I have the classic talking head, dead man yeah. walking, but I think I have the thing where I generally have a better time performing as myself, and I think I can do a roast. You know, famous last words.
But I mean, but with comedy, it's I can't stress enough how stand-up is a skill that takes years to perfect.
Yeah.
It takes years.
And they give them 2 days.
Yeah, they give them 2 days. So that they had anything come out of their mouth that was even a coherent sentence is already like head and shoulders above what most people could do.
Truly.
And to think that you're not only roasting, you know, the miscongenialities, you're roasting your bosses.
Yes.
You know, you're roasting RuPaul of all people, like, you know, the queen of the queens.
You have to be fucking funny.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, if it was me, which it would be me, I don't know what I would do. I think I'd just piss myself.
Do you think we missed a great roast from Tina with her going home?
Tina would have been good at it.
I think
she's
so
another,
too.
She's another New York queen. She would have been good.
She would have been great. Which is why, and I look, this is a conspiracy theory. I cannot prove it. Another reason why I think they sent her home.
Oh.
I think they were like, we don't want her to do great on the roast, so beat it. That's just my conspiracy. I cannot I cannot.
Yeah, it's really weird that. With that elimination and like you've done fine the whole time. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Who do you think won that lip sync? Because this has been a big contentious decision.
From last week, honestly, I thought it was sort of a tie the way they edited it. Uh-huh. You know, sometimes it's hard to tell because I almost wish they could do a split screen so you could see both of them at the same time.
It would be nice if there was just an unedited wide.
Right.
Let me see the damn performance.
Yeah, I think they could easily do that as in extras somewhere because I would love to see them both. Because sometimes they'll throw in like, oh, somebody isn't lip syncing that correctly.
Uh-huh.
But then sometimes they cut away right when they're doing some crazy splits or something. But but I have to say the lip syncs this year have been fine, but there's not a lot of like super dance songs.
Right.
So we're not getting the full, you know, death drops and everything else that are really fun to watch.
Yes.
They're almost more facial expression kind of songs.
This week's song was particularly hard, I thought.
It was
so medium tempo, maybe even light.
Medium tempos. You can't really show off too much.
But yeah, real love or true love, whatever it was. That was a great lip sync. That was the one where Denali was like a bird woman.
Right.
But we haven't had that many great lip syncs this season. You're right.
No, come on. We want to see tumbles and death drops and splits and, you know, just crazy shit.
Yeah, truly. Some crazy. Do you have like a great lip sync you think of like in general?
Oh, I wish I could think right now, but no, I have lost my mind.
Yeah. No worries. No worries. I was going back and I was watching season 10. Oh, the Vixen has some really great underrated lip syncs and she does crazy shit. Tumbles, spins, where you're like, how does a body do that?
I don't know. Or when they both are in sync, you know, like the times when it just works out where they're both doing a death drop at exactly the same time. And
yes.
It's fantastic.
I love it. I love it. Well, we're going to dig into the ignored advice from Lonnie Love, Michelle, the actual roast itself, and reveal our special guest. But first, we got to take a break. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3... I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp
allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me de-crap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Bring back my break. Oh, we're back with Michael, and we've got the darling, the sweetie, the incomparable Rachel Bloom.
Hello.
Yay.
What's up, Rach?
You know, just putting the baby to sleep an hour late after getting home from a Passover Seder.
I love it.
That's basic. Baby's first baby's first Passover.
Baby had Passover a year ago, but she he was a worm. He didn't know what.
And
the,
now a larvae. Yeah.
How old is baby now? Like a year and a couple
year,
weeks.
A year,
right?
Yes. Wait, I'm sorry. Happy belated.
Yeah, her birthday was 2 days ago.
That's crazy.
I know it's really weird.
A year. Hmm. A year. I can't do this. It is really shocking. I was just like, because I was lucky enough to get my first vaccine shot like yesterday. And I was just like, a year ago, I was just throwing like tackling soup cans off of a grocery store, you know, shelf. And now I'm like, I have a vaccine shot. It's really crazy.
Yeah.
I dug into some toilet paper I bought sometime last year, and it is like sandpaper on a roll. And I haven't thrown it out yet. I thought, like, what am I doing? Just throw it out. I don't have to use it.
Yeah.
That was like a bottle of Costco shampoo I bought back. And a year and a half later, I still had it. And I thought I was going to go out of my mind. I thought, well, just, you don't have to keep using it.
Yeah.
Like, it's never going to end. It was like a big gallon jug of it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hi,
Rachel.
Hi, Rach. Rach, we're just about to talk about this segment.
I'm so excited. I mean, Mono, as you know, I wasn't necessarily scheduled to be on, although I am so excited to be on when Michael Hitchcock is really obviously the special guest. Because,
what a treat.
Well, because it occurred to me, and my husband, Dan Greger, will be joining at some point after he's done walking the dog, because we found it to be riveting television last night, obviously.
Excellent.
But Utica seems like she could be a Michael Hitchcock / Christopher Guest character.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Shoo. For a second there, I didn't know which way you were going.
What did you?
You were just saying, dude, just seems like Michael Hitchcock. Just seems so much like you.
No, she doesn't remind me of you at all. But just the idea of this nice, you know, or this nice, this Midwestern kook who's like a Seventh-day Adventist and has been so afraid of being politically incorrect, and then is just like, you're a fat fuck. Like,
yeah, you're an old mother. Like that, the thing she said to Michelle Visage too. It was just like, wow.
Oh my God, why? Ooh. What the hell was happening there? That whale moment is maybe the most uncomfortable moment in Drag Race history.
But it's also that thing where she didn't seem to think that was a problem either, that everything was okay. But I'm hoping she'll see this, you know, at home and go like, oh boy, I'm gonna learn from this and I'm gonna be amazing a year from now.
Yeah. She's already tweeted her apologies, and Lonnie was gracious enough to say, it's fine. You know,
it was Nina West I saw.
Yes.
Although Lonnie and Michelle, she was pretty fucking rude too.
She was really
rude. But they also went out of the way to say it was rude and mean and don't do it. And then she repeated exactly what she did, like the whale call and mm-hmm. all of that. And, you know, you got to take a note.
That was frustrating when she had the nerve to come in the workroom and say, Michelle didn't get my Lion King joke. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you are rewriting history. Like you own an elementary school in Florida, because these are lies. You are telling lies.
Plus, it's Simone, but it's Timon or whatever, right? I mean, it's such a weird. Like, yes. None of it really makes any sense. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
It didn't make any sense. And you know, life has read her more than anyone in the room could read her. You know,
well, and plus, honestly, yeah, you come from she grew up in a town with 300 people and. Mm-hmm. Makes all her own outfits. So there's a lot going on that she does do well, and her lip syncs are great.
Yeah.
But the comedy part she's got to work on. You wonder, like, is that also just a, I don't know, just the whole woke thing where you with comedy is it gets very tricky where, you know, mm-hmm. just afraid to say anything. I don't know. It was, but then to say that, like, I won't do this and I won't do that and I won't do the wig of Bob Ross.
That is so strange.
But I'll call everybody fat and old.
Yes.
So I don't know.
I mean, she's
not the best comedy choices.
She just kind of seems a little out of her gourd.
Right.
I mean, I'm just filtering it through, like, she's out of her gourd. Like,
it's like a split personality at times.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, I guess to use the clinical term, she's a kook.
She's a kook.
So like, because the fundamental misunderstanding, it was like just such a lack of like awareness of what comedy is mm-hmm. or anything funny is. So I don't think it was like, I think she's like, okay, it's a roast. Like it was very literal. Like it's a roast. So I should be like super mean. And we heard about this like mean streak that she had,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. She's just a kook.
I think this is something. So as someone who was bullied, I'll say I feel like Utica should have been bullied like maybe just 10% more. Just like,
oh,
I mean, in life, like there's a little bit of bullying that gives you, how do I say this, character? It kind of helps shape your expectations. It sort of gives you, it gives you a better understanding of what's happening around you. And I feel like maybe she was never bullied even once in ever.
Oh, I think she was bullied. Even if she, I mean, you know. And I can say growing up in a Christian community, they're just as mean as anyone else. So, yeah it's, but you're right, Rachel, as far as like the mean girl thing, it was like, remember with the whole thing with, she told Olivia that, oh, I think you're going to do really well in the challenge. And they cut to the confessional where she goes, oh, I'm really worried about Utica. Olivia, she's going to be not so good. I thought, wow, that's so two-faced and weird. Like why? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then at the end, you find out at the end that they want to date each other, which is again like what a weird. That's like what
I gotta say, like is Olivia just being like ironic, or does she actually want to go on a date with Utica? I'm not saying who would want to go to date with Utica as much as like the way it was phrased in the letter was like, let's go on that date. Like it seemed mm-hmm. very like fun. Mm. And Utica was like, oh my God, we're going to go on a date.
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll find out, I'm sure, when they do the reunion.
They do the reunion. What if it's a very jinx and oh my God, Ivy Winters. What if it's that moment where it's like, no, they were just in a pressure cooker. It's not really going to happen. That's what I think is where we're walking towards.
Uh-huh.
Maybe. I don't know. But I do think, like we talked about before, I think they all genuinely like each other this year for the most part. So mm-hmm. there's things we're not seeing, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, totally. I'm sure they want more drama. They want more drama. And ever since Tamisha left, let's get in a fight, everybody.
Yeah. I wish they would have kept her around a little longer for that reason, uh-huh. for no other reason. But I don't know how you kick off the woman with cancer when you do, but that's another story.
That part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently she has said, I am eager to talk about my experience, but I have to wait until I am legally allowed to. Apparently she's been saying that.
Oh.
Yeah, but like you get, can you imagine getting like critiques like, well, we wish that you'd just move a little faster. Somebody goes, I literally couldn't walk six months ago.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Holy, yeah. They also had to know, the production had to know that she had her, I think the way she had, was her ostomy bag. They had to know that.
Mm-hmm.
The girls maybe.
Oh yeah. They had to know that.
They had to know that. Like, and I mean, I don't know. The judges maybe knew that. That's really interesting. So what do we think the NDA situation is?
I think it's about a year from what I hear.
Oh, they have like an NDA? They have to? I didn't
know.
Well,
you were saying that Tamisha was saying, like, I can't wait until I'm legally allowed to talk about my experience. So that indicates some sort of like.
There is an NDA. They're not supposed to talk about their experience on the show for up to a year, I think, like since it's airing or something.
Hmm. Really interesting that it would be an NDA that expires. Because you can have people sign NDAs for like forever.
Right. Right. I wonder if it's like you're more likely to like keep hush if there's an end date as opposed to like forever.
Sure.
You know, maybe they just hope people won't be that interested after that time has passed. I don't know.
People are still interested in why Willem got kicked off. So, I mean.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The it's a fascinating, we're obsessed with the canon of the show. It's the new Marvel universe for me.
Well, that's what was so weird about the whole Las Vegas thing.
Yes.
Like,
you know,
it was almost like seeing how the sausage is made. Uh-huh. It was weird. It was like, oh, I just want them to look pretty and, you know, everything's glamorous. And then all of a sudden, like they're fighting, but real fights, it seemed like. And I mean, it was strange.
In Vegas Review, that whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That's what I have to watch.
Oh, it's fascinating.
It's interesting. There's some good moments.
Because it's almost like the Real Housewives meets RuPaul and it doesn't quite work.
Oh, interesting.
In my opinion.
Yeah. It's definitely in beta. It's definitely a drag housewives moment.
Right. Because they'll do things like, I thought it'd be a good idea if we all had a slumber party tonight. And you thought, no, you didn't have a good idea. The producers did. The producers then took all the paintings in the hotel off the wall because you can't get the rights to them. So people
didn't
just show up.
You 35-year-olds. You didn't think we should have a slumber party?
No, not at all. And so I thought, oh no, I don't like it when it's this produced.
Yeah.
The thought of having a slumber party and sleeping on the floor is like, remember when it was like the thing you were super excited about? Like, I'm going to have a slumber party and I'm going to sleep in my sleeping bag. The thought of sleeping in a sleeping bag on a cold, hard floor while people are still fucking probably talking around me. That sounds like fucking hell.
Oh yeah.
I remember one time I stayed up all night with friends and I ate Fritos, and to this day I kind of want to barf when I eat Fritos because I ate them all night long. But anyway, we should probably get back to the race.
I don't know. I think we need to talk about Fritos more.
The Utica being coached was some of the most uncomfortable moments, I think, in television history.
Yeah.
Right. And Lonnie Love, who seems like to be such a nice person, and then to be cut down like that and to basically my God.
Terrible.
Oof.
I also find one more thing. I also find it interesting, this because this just occurred to me, that so I there's a lot of, you know, talk online about Utica being fat shaming and definitely is, but I think that it's just her fundamentally misunderstanding comedy literally what humor is. And we've seen that numerous times with Utica on the show.
Yeah.
But I will say she is very fixated on weight. Like the fact that Michelle was like, I've seen The Lion King, I have children, and very quickly was like, yeah, I can tell. That was real
weird.
Fast. That was fast to the point where it's like, oh, that's how you think.
Yeah.
You know, with super, I never quite, this is, I'm, how do I say this? I never quite trust super skinny people. In my head, I'm like, just in my head, I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You say like, it's just genetics or, but like, you probably secretly think everyone's a fat ass, right? And like, it just confirmed what I had suspected about how I think more than half of very skinny, rail thin people see yes. everyone else who isn't, which is like, well, you should try harder.
Yes. I'm with you.
It just confirmed that.
Yeah, it was strange. I felt bad for her in that regard, but because there's ways to do, but I mean, they did so many big shoulder jokes, which was weird, but like, oh, that thing we all need to know is you've got big shoulders. Like what?
For decades, we've been trying to reduce our shoulder size. You know,
yes.
There's all those old Hollywood ads about reducing your shoulder size. I know what you mean. That is a strange attack, but it brings a good point that there was good jokes about size. It was just like, that's a good joke. Or like, it was like you auditioned for the play. You got the part of the stage. That's a good joke.
Right.
So it works.
Yeah. It's what I think what Michelle said is like you, or someone said, nothing is off limits. You just have to be funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Gottmik is rail thin, but like Gottmik's joke about Ross coming when the pizza's delivered in a porn. That's a great fucking
joke.
Fucking great joke. It's funny.
Or the thing about, yeah, that group, you know, that it's that Drag Race is the Olympics and you're the stadium. I mean, that's another one. It was like a great joke.
So funny. And I'm going to finally tell you, since I heard the uncensored episode, what Utica says. Does anyone want to guess? Because remember, it's you don't blank on a dick, you skittles on a dick.
Well, it doesn't even say dick. It says you blank on a blank, skittles on a blank.
Yes.
So it was like you boop on a burp, you skittles on a burp. And I thought,
got it. So that is, you're so gay, Ross, that you don't blank on a dick, you skittles on a dick.
You don't suck on a dick, you skittles on a, I don't know.
It's you don't shit on a dick. You don't, you're so gay, you don't shit on a dick, you skittles on a dick. Huh.
But also that's a
so that he has
right. What?
So that so he has skittles in his ass.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. I probably have Jolly Ranchers, so it's all.
It's interesting.
Yeah, for me,
it's
tricks.
Also an assumption that like every that like yeah yeah most of us are gonna shit on a dick. I don't know, Mono. I feel like you and I have talked about this a lot.
Sure.
Like, how often are you shitting on a dick?
Not enough.
And it's
no.
not like it sounds like it's less than a 50-50 situation.
Absolutely. I think it just the it's definitely less than a 50% for sure. Which once again, this is just the fact that they were probably having this very same conversation while she was continuing to do her set is proof that it's just too weird.
It's also for TV. It was what they were also saying. They're going to bleep you, so the audience isn't going to know what you're saying.
Yeah.
So maybe don't do that joke.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't know if she was given that note or not. I don't remember.
Who knows? But Candy,
did you guys see the Drag Race UK stand-up?
I did. Michael has not seen this season.
I have not seen any of season two yet.
Got it. There's just one queen who's just does a lot of dirty stand-up, and it's like, You remind me of my nan. She's beep on the beep. So
funny. And then, because there's a difference between some beeps are become funny again after it's seven. Like, you know what I mean? After it's like so extended.
Yeah.
But can't do a couple. Candy does great. What did y'all think of Candy's performance?
I liked it. And I have, Candy has won me over this episode.
Got it. I think a
because
lot of people
I thought that she was finally in her wheelhouse, which is being a hostess at, you know, I'm sure she does it all the time in New York, and it was her, you know, it was her night.
Yeah.
What do you think, Rachel?
I completely agree. Really won me over this episode, and it was also one of the first times I feel like Candy in the past has been like, and I think actually Mono, maybe you and Oscar talked about
it. Uh-huh.
Because I listened to every episode when
Angel.
I love your and Oscar's hatred of each other, by the way. really
we
It's a beautiful frenemy.
It is. It is. Can't wait to kill him.
Also, Oscar, you were completely right, by the way. Oscar's judgments are way off.
About which? About Candy's look?
Oh, Candy's look was one of the worst looks I've ever seen on the
show. Thank you.
Oh, that thing with the powder puffs? Oh,
no, it was the green body.
Yeah. And then the furry tits.
Oh, it was horrible. It was awful. And no one said anything. I don't understand.
Awful.
That was up there with La Ree's paper bags.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was like
it was excruciatingly awful, and somehow weirdly Michelle Visage said nothing.
Arguably worse. I think she said stuff we didn't see it. Arguably worse because so much effort went into that super ugly thing. Like, there's so many things that are wrong on it. The face is crazy. The arms are crazy. Everything's crazy.
Well, plus technically it wasn't even a beast. It was an alien.
Yeah.
So it didn't even. I mean, even the theme was off.
Insane. It was really insane.
Oh wow.
It was
anyway.
And the thing is, like, the thing about that runway as opposed to La La Ree's bag runway is like that was pre-made.
Candy
came with a bodysuit with green pubes stuck to it and like a blow up sex doll on the back and was like, yes, this is what I have pre-made.
Yep.
For this.
To quote Santino Rice, you brought that.
Yes.
You brought that. You didn't make it on the first episode with Barbie dolls. You brought that.
Yeah.
Quote, that
was a head scratcher.
Top Chef. There was an episode of Top Chef where it was like the first episode of the season that aired 2 years ago at this point. someone made a terrible like tuna tartare and one of the judges went, this tuna died in vain. It's one of the best judgments I've ever
had. Oh, that's fun. Simone. Yeah. Let's talk about Simone. Because Simone, right?
Christ. Oh. I mean,
this was a heartbreak because she's so lovely. And this was bad.
She didn't even attempt punchlines.
I know.
Because she, you know, it's so funny because she did great in the commercial. So you'd think she's got a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And she does. Her characters are really good, and I do agree that she stayed in character the whole time. She didn't, you know, freak out completely. But yeah, that was just I don't know.
Yeah, that was strange when she talks about Valentina and she was like, "Valentina, you didn't know the words."
And everyone, yeah, that's right.
Okay,
there was no punchline. Yep. We all know she didn't know the words. Yeah. We all saw the episode.
Oh, but
you're
God. Actually,
Michael, you're so right. Like, she's been funny off the cuff. She's been funny even with punchlines before, like her Harriet Tubman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, super
Harriet
funny.
Tubman was so fantastic. Funny.
You're right. It's not because I think she's the best actress that's ever been on this show.
Oh, I agree.
Love that.
Like that little.
Because that acting challenge, like,
oh my
she
God.
Blew it out. A part that could have been so bad and mm-hmm. boring, she brought a whole nother level to it that I never would have thought to do.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if I have been on Drag Race, would I have done that? And everyone always tells me, you're not going to be on Drag Race. You're too old. But I'm just saying, I thought it was brilliant. So I don't know what happened, except for that she's not a stand-up and she's going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, if you were to ever be on Drag Race or be a drag, mm-hmm. what have you given any thought as to what your like persona would be, what your name would be? Any thoughts?
I have done drag a few times. I had one time I had to do this. We did a Facts of Life show one time where I had to play Home Run Helen from an episode of, I looked like an old lady playing a teenager. It was, I don't know. I would have to be B. Arthur or something. I mean, I don't know what
well,
I would be.
That's my next question. Who would you do for Snatch Game? Right? Because you could, yeah. you would destroy a Snatch Game, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I would really think about it. It would certainly wouldn't be a Golden Girl because obviously you don't do that.
Haunted. Cursed.
Yeah. I'm surprised no one's done. I mean, they always say that Jennifer Coolidge, like I could probably do a pretty good Jennifer Coolidge, but no one's done her yet. I'm kind of surprised.
I'm also shocked no one's done Jennifer Tilly. Hello.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, it's one of those characters where you can kind of say anything and it's true.
Right.
Like I went on a date with a tiger. Yeah, I kind of see that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't know. Things not to worry about in life.
True. So we have our Utica set. Let's now talk about which, I mean, this is giving us iconic moments, including Lonnie saying to her, "You're the one bombing."
That was so... Ooh. When you're getting heckled by the fucking judges, the judges heckling was great. And also asking RuPaul to stand up, in addition to like just having the balls to do that, I tell me if you guys got this joke or if this is inside baseball. I know that the judges, when they're sitting at the table, mm-hmm. they take off they're in sweatpants.
Yeah.
So asking RuPaul to stand up, was that purposeful on Utica's part to call?
I don't know. I thought I wondered the same thing. I thought like, but then I thought like what she was wearing that time, you could probably take off the train or something, you know what I mean? To get comfortable. But
I think,
what would the joke have been if she stood up? Like, oh yeah, you're wearing sweatpants?
I think so.
And I know that.
I think so. Cause I think Rue is like preserving the magic, but yeah, that's not a joke. It is just mean and strange to be like, I want to embarrass you. Cause like there's no world where she would have stood up and then everyone been like, that's so funny. Good call.
Well, or it was Utica setting up a different joke and legit was RuPaul, stand up. Let's give you a round of applause. You're old, right? And Utica didn't even register that, because it's almost gives Utica too much credit. Because the joke of like, RuPaul, stand up. Let's see your beautiful gown is like, that's actually kind of funny knowing that the judges instantly change into sweatpants.
I think that's what her joke was.
You think that's what it was? Okay.
I do. What do you
think?
That's
kind of funny.
Well, whatever it was, RuPaul gave her the finger and the fist, apparently.
So yeah.
And Lonnie Love said, you're bombing. I mean, it was just, oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Iconic. And I love that Rue is so, she's such a bombastic is not a good word, but it's a word I'm going to use. She's just so like, she's so alive in the show. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lesser host would be like, we're going to ignore this. We're going to cut this out. But she was like, I'm going to flick you off and we're going to keep it in the edit.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that was crazy.
That was super funny. That was,
it was
really, it's moments like you forget like, oh, RuPaul's a really funny person.
Yeah.
Like there's so much when you're hosting, there's so much. I mean, obviously it's RuPaul's Drag Race and RuPaul's won a ton of Emmys, but I do think hosting is sometimes a thankless job. Mm-hmm. You lose the fun just in every TV show I've seen. And also having hosted some stand-up shows in bars, not my share of it.
Nice, but nice brag.
Thank you so much. Facebook just reminded me 12 years ago you were hosting this show that like no one came to in New York. Thanks Facebook. But it was just nice to see RuPaul being like off the cuff, like, oh, RuPaul, if you were on RuPaul's Drag Race, you'd win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was saying, me and Michael were also sharing stories of like, we have all fucking bombed. So we have all been there. We have all had horrible memories. I just flashed to a memory of doing an improv show for a high school that like didn't know what improv was. Mm-hmm. And it, hell on earth, because they did not care. They were not impressed and they wanted us dead.
I one time had to do an audition at the Laugh Factory and I was told it was going to be closed. And so I was doing characters, like sketch characters. So I brought in, one was a librarian who talked to himself. It was not a good character. But so anyway, you go there and it's like, oh, by the way, there's an audience. It's a regular night and they're going to stick you in with stand-ups. And then you're doing these stupid sketch characters.
No.
And the audience literally like, you suck, get off the stage. And you're like, you just want to crawl, you know, but you have to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so like humiliated and angry that we were sold a bill of goods. And, you know, and then whoever sent me there never even like, you know, returned the call after that. It was just like, it was just awful.
Brutal.
So yeah, we've all been there.
That's so shitty of them also to put you in between stand-ups.
Yeah, it was a whole different, it's a whole different other thing, but it doesn't matter. That's just what we all go through. It's just part of the deal, you know, and how many times we've played where there's more people in the cast than in the audience.
Oh,
I mean, it's all of that. But oof.
Happens.
If you want to have some real fun bombing, try doing a comedy song where you can't, if you're singing to a track, so you can't like pivot Stop. Or make the yeah. bit shorter. The first time I do this song cake about the video Cake Farts. It's been like one of my oldest songs I've done. And it's all about this like viral video Cake Farts from like 15 years ago of a woman farting into a cake.
Yeah. Love Cake Farts so much.
The first, okay. So I assumed the video was like super ubiquitous. So the first time I did that song for a show, and this was at the Westwood Brewing Company in Westwood. I had no preamble. I didn't explain the video Cake Farts. I just went, I'd like to sing a song about dreams. So I sing the song Cake Farts, which it's literally a want song. I want to spread my ass cheeks and fart on a cake, assuming that everyone has
that we all know what it is.
No one knew what I was talking about. That song is like 6 minutes long.
Oh,
I had zero laughs. It was the first time I'd done the song. I had zero laughs. The song ends.
Oh my God.
I've got no laughs. And I say to everyone, I go, do you guys know what the video Cake Farts is? And the whole audience goes, no.
No.
Oh my God.
I didn't do that song for like a year and a half after. Cause I was like, and I think I remember I left that show. It was a really bad show in general. I left that show being like, I think I'm done with comedy.
Yes. Yes.
I had a good run.
I one time had to perform downtown LA at some fancy hotel for the mayor of LA at the time. And I was doing a song with a couple other, about four other groundlings and I wrote it myself. It was about City Walk and it was set to the tune of Camelot and about how, you know, City Walk, Universal City Walk is kind of stupid. Mm-hmm. So that was the thing. And I'm thinking, oh, and everyone was bombing, nothing was working. And I thought, well, they're finally listening to this thing. What I didn't know behind me, one of the dancers behind me fell off the stage into a drum kit, crawled back up on the stage.
Oh my
she
God.
Was missing a shoe and her leg was bleeding.
Oh my
And so
God.
The whole audience was just transfixed on this bleeding woman limping with one shoe. It was so awful. It was just
use
awful.
It. And use her.
And I know it was just, it was so humiliating. And the woman was actually Maggie Baird, who's Billie Eilish's mom.
Whoa.
But if they only knew that then, they would have been
this
kinder.
This is fucking fascinating.
It was so, it was crazy. It was so awful, just awful. And that was also where Michael McDonald, you know, Robin, you know, I mean, Rachel, you know, Michael McDonald, the comedian and very famous comedian and director, mm-hmm. but he did a character and he asked the mayor like, hey mayor, what kind of, he was doing Rusty, one of his characters from the Growlings, and it was on Mad TV. And what do you want to see in the future in Los Angeles? And the mayor answered, hopefully better comedy than this. And the whole audience exploded in laughter. I mean, the whole night was just, it was a debacle.
Horrible. Horrible.
And, you know, what are you going to do? You have to keep going.
I'll say,
We've all been there.
One time I was hired to do improv for people recovering and going through medical with like a withdrawal from substance abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't find out until we got there. And mm-hmm. we said, no, we're not going to do this. They're like, no, it's fun. It's good. And we were like, no, we can't do this. Cause we also like a part of it was like to teach them improv. And like, needless to say, the class was a nightmare and the show was an even bigger one.
But that's what, you know, makes you stronger.
It makes
if
you stronger.
Get through it.
So to that tune, you know, Utica, we've all been there. We've all been there.
We all been there. And we didn't have to do it on national TV our first time.
Exactly. Gottmik does great. She does great. Love her hit song joke.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm still thinking about great. Every bomb that I've been in or witnessed. I'm in that.
Get out of the hole.
I'm trying to dig myself out.
You got to dig yourself out.
Oh, no, you got to dig yourself out. Yeah.
Delete.
Yeah, I did. I've had so many of them and I don't even, you know, I can wake up at 3 a.m. and stay up for days thinking about
right
the humiliations of comedy.
Well, what do you think about here? We should talk about Olivia, right?
Yes.
Because Olivia is, she does a nervous thing, right? It's like, and we've all been there too. We're like, I'm a nervous character, which is like, there's some rub, there's some energy rubbing off into her set.
I thought RuPaul's like RuPaul's critique of her was very interesting. Like when she was scurrying out on stage, it was like she was apologizing. I thought, wow, that is very interesting. And I went back and looked at it again. I thought, like, yeah, that's kind of right.
I sensed a similar thing where I was like, no, don't. And like, I'm not the best character performer at all. So when I saw her starting with character, I personally was like, don't do a character. Just do the jokes. Because I love the parent guardian joke. I thought the parent guardian.
That was so.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great
fantastic.
Joke.
Fantastic. You think at the beginning, like, oh, she's going to do great.
Yeah.
And she also did, like, Mama Ru is the patient zero of drag queens. That's a great joke. I mean, there were some good jokes.
There were. Yeah.
They told her to do the nice girl stuff, to be fair. Like, in the coaching, they were like, you're nice. That's really funny if you play it super nice, but say mean things. So I kind of felt, Gregor and I both felt like she was kind of just taking their note, and then they got, like, they dinged her for, like, taking the note.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But that's another one where give her some time, she'll be good.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. And
plus, obviously, they edit that way down. I mean, so we don't know what other ones were even done, because I assume they do a joke about every single, you know, person there.
I would assume.
Oh, that's a good... know. That's Michael. That's such a good point. Cause I was wondering, like, oh, they did one joke about the contestants and then they just moved on to, like,
right.
Michelle, but you're completely right. I mean, it also, like, I wonder, like, what did they cut from the Miss Congenialities set?
Oh, yeah. A lot.
Real short.
They were super
short.
They
each got one joke.
One joke. And Nina West seemed like no one laughed because they started the music up right away. So I don't know. That was a bit strange, but.
They ended on her least strong joke. And I was like, don't do that to her. End on her good joke.
Yeah.
Well, what'd you think of Rosé?
I thought Rosé was good.
She's good.
I think they were right. I mean, she wasn't as good as
Candy.
Mm-hmm. As Candy was. But they also gave her a strange note too, which was like, you know, when I do two, you know, Lonnie Love said, like, when I do two, you know, two shows a night, I switch up the second show. I thought, well, wait a minute. When you went out to rehearse with, you know, and then you're supposed to do new jokes? Like,
right.
What? That's not fair.
I thought
that was a strange note, too.
It was a strange note.
We don't want to hear the same jokes you did in rehearsal.
My favorite part of Rosé's set, unfortunately, was when Valentina was proud of being delusional. Unfortunately, that was... my favorite part was when she's like, I'm like you, completely fucking delusional. And Valentina, with no irony, was like, yay! I thought it was good. Technically good is Rosé.
Boy, they really went after Rent Live.
Oh, yeah. They got her on that one.
Woo, a couple of times.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah, you know, Candy's point, at first I thought Candy was insane for being like, I want to go first. But Candy's right. You can't, no one... you won't get repeated jokes if you go first.
Mm-hmm. We said the same thing.
That's so smart.
Same.
Yeah.
So smart.
Rosé was great.
She was really great.
She looked great too.
Gregor, do you want to join?
Yeah, Gregor, you want to punch in? Sorry,
Gregor's
any thoughts on the roast?
Noise in the sink. So I thought, well.
Oh, no worries.
Is that really his way of saying he wants to come on the podcast, or is he just making noise in the sink?
No. Well, I mean, we're round in the river bend, so please do, because I don't have... Okay, here comes Straight Talk from a Straight
Hi,
Guy.
Oh, I'm back.
Featuring Dan Gregor.
Hello.
Hello.
Gregor, Michael, you may not know that Gregor's been kind of coming on intermittently as I've been doing this podcast and giving his thoughts in a segment that we call Straight Talk from a Straight Guy.
You really have to follow your words for that.
Straight Talk from a Straight Guy.
Yeah, any overarching notes, my man?
I mean, did you talk about you already? You had to, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
That's
mostly been the Utica hour.
That was probably the funniest thing I've seen on TV in years. to watch someone truly not understand like how jokes work and just be openly vicious was was so, I mean, it was, it's just stunning. It was better than any like nasty reality show you could imagine. Cause
yeah,
man, she just, I, we were afraid she was going to start like coming out with racial slurs and
oh my God.
Just like every terrible thing she learned in her hometown is coming to the
fore. Oh my God. You're so funny. You're, that's so funny and true that somehow this is sharper than Teresa Giudice turning over a table. Like something about this was harsher than that, which is wow.
Because it was like, it was uncalled for. Like the, all the stuff she was saying to Lonnie Love, I was like, stop, please, no.
I know. It was, yeah, it was strange.
Just the rehearsal.
But... Tear. No good. No good. Did we agree with all the placements? Like, obviously, Candy wins, and our bottom two is Simone and Utica. Do we agree with that?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, man.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Fuck yeah, dude.
It's dead on.
Yeah, I was getting afraid that they weren't going to put some, and I say this with all the love towards Simone, because I still think she should win this. I thought that like they were going to put Olivia in the bottom and not have Simone in the bottom. And I was like, well, that just wouldn't be fair. Like, but they didn't. This really only had two bottoms. This was, I mean, but like, yeah. I mean, it was fine.
How was Simone so bad at this?
I don't understand it.
You know, and it,
I don't know, but go
her.
Back and look. She did stay in character, and I have to give her credit for that, because I would have sweated bullets and said, okay, bye. I mean, obviously. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And, you know, this behooves her tale. This behooves the story of Simone.
That would have been so funny if someone was like, you know what? Bye.
I'm done.
And they
bye,
just
everyone.
Walked away.
They just start lip syncing right then and there.
I mean, that would be great. to Ariana song that's not playing.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the only, I mean, the good thing about it is I loved watching Simone lip sync because she's great at it.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, that was fun.
Yeah.
She was incredible. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the lip sync too, right? This is, I was telling, I mean, me and Michael agreed. It's a very mid-tempo song that's, there's not huge peaks, so it's a little challenging to lip sync.
You can't pull out your dance tricks, really.
Right. A good dance move can look intensely desperate if you pull it out on this soft song.
Yeah.
It played to Simone's strength, which is, I guess the whole point is, like, character work. She really, really jumps into character, and that obviously a different skill set than the, you know what? She's the actor, not the writer. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, with all of this stuff, I mean, that's what's interesting about Drag Race is that all the challenges highlight your strengths and highlight other people's weaknesses. And, you know, some people are going to do great with whatever. The thing that's changed over the years is the fashion, because we talked about this a little bit earlier, but I do think that they must be spending thousands of dollars to put those wardrobes together.
They are.
And with thinking that they're going to make it up later when they go to the clubs.
Right.
Because those outfits have gotten to be just amazing. I mean, like every
truly one. Like out of a picture book from the Victorian era where you're like,
right.
How do you find something this ornate?
They've been beautiful. I mean, every single thing. And, you know, and that's where with Utica and her oddness, she does make her clothes, and I give her credit for that.
You gotta.
I don't think a lot of them are. I just don't. I just you couldn't.
Yeah,
they're too well constructed.
Totally. Did you all notice?
Maybe I'm wrong.
The creepy happy walk. No, you're 100% right. And a lot of girls go in debt, especially now with the pandy. They had to. How do you spend a ton of money for this weird, like to not go and be able to perform and make your money back?
I would think they're spending on average $10,000. I mean, if you have to hire someone to sew,
more. I hate to
probably
tell you,
more,
it's
right?
More. Yeah, it's more.
Whoa, really?
Oh yeah, a lot of girls.
There's like designers that specialize in this stuff. So
yes,
it's,
many girls take out 20K loans and
wow,
yeah. Because they're like, I want to do good on the show. And if I wear something that's not that stunning, they'll tell me I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And then when they were doing like the live, and they can't do a live one this year either, but like you know, the finale, where your costumes not only have to look great, they have to change into something else.
Oh my God.
And sometimes have to change into three things.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's this, you know, like, I want more, I want more, I want more. I want to see butterflies. I want to see, you know, it's crazy.
How financially screwed is like Kimora, right? Kimora was the first one that left.
Right.
Like,
I don't know.
You have to buy all the same amount of stuff as everybody, right?
You're prepping all of the, mm-hmm. It's a good point.
So everybody spends the same amount to be there, regardless if you go home first or last. And
true. But I assume it's, but don't you think it's like, Dan, I they get to go on tour later.
Yes. So. One day soon they'll, you know, maybe next year, but they'll get to go on tour. They'll make money. Hopefully if they're smart, they start talking to brands and start cross promoting and selling bidets.
If you truly are like first or second off, do you get the same opportunities?
I don't know, but you can't like return it to Nordstrom the next day. I mean, that's not happening.
I'd like to return this giant taxi hat.
Yes. No. Yeah. Yeah. No, this is a scepter that is half snake, half peacock. I'm guessing Junior Miss. Junior
I got
Miss
it
department.
Back at H&M.
I don't want to see any fucking H&M, Dan.
Oh, Gregory, you don't know that.
Oh, I you showed me that clip.
Yeah, it was great.
I love it.
The only thing you could return was Candy's sex doll from
that you can that return on Amazon.
Yeah,
lightly used. That's the best sex doll. Lightly used,
and actually, that's probably the most lightly used return sex doll. That
truly,
you never returned. Yeah. It would be like, oh, you didn't come in it. You just used it on RuPaul's Drag Race. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
I buy that you looked at the face on this doll and couldn't possibly climax because it's this horrifying. Did you notice Utica's creepy little happy walk to go lip sync her song? I just want to, did you notice that? There was like, you're in the bottom two and she's like, yay.
Oh,
I was
the
like,
whole, like, I love to lip sync. Look, anyone who wasn't Utica being like, you know what? I love to lip sync. Because that's what I do. Good point. But because it's Utica, I'm like, okay, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
There's just nothing. There's just, I guess I started to put Utica in the box of like, you're just going to say things.
Yeah.
and we're going to go, okay.
I love it. That's all she wrote. The only one thing I want to say is Candy brings up an excellent point about the weirdness of the phrase turning over a new leaf.
Yes.
Fair point.
Yes. Yeah, we're learning a lot about Candy and math and everything else. But although they gave her a great note and she took it, which is slow down, you know, because it is hard to understand her. And they, because she talks so fast and she's, you know, from New York and it's all blah, 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 blah. And like, you know, I turned on my, what do you call it? The closed caption a couple of times so I could understand what she was saying on past episodes. But this one, like, you know, she took the note. I thought that was great.
Impressive.
You know, good for her.
Impressive.
Wait, really quickly, did you talk about the mini challenge already?
We did, but go ahead.
Just to say, the gag of obviously, like, someone's the hands, someone else's the hands. Like, that is, I mean, literally, that is a talent show act I remember from, like, second grade that someone, like, did with their dad.
Uh-huh.
But I gotta say,
always funny.
Everyone made me laugh.
It's always it's always funny.
We said the same thing.
I was just so hacky, and I was like, oh, Gummick's arms are so big.
It can't fail.
It can't fail. It works every time. I don't know.
Everyone here is such a damn treat. What do y'all want to promote before we say ta-ta?
Well, I'm going to be back on Showtime's Black Monday starting in May.
Amaze.
So that'll be fun. Just started filming that again.
I already talked about Barb and Star a lot, but go watch Barb and Star because it is queer canon.
I think Barb and Star, I think, is now available for streaming and you can buy it soon.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we gotta
incredible.
Watch.
With bonus scenes.
Oh, stop. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Lots of bonus. Oh. Lots of bonus stuff.
I will absolutely be purchasing this movie. I loved it so much. Rach?
I got nothing. I got nothing. I cede my time to Hitchcock. He's
good.
Always working and booking.
Good.
If you want to see my work, just watch Hitchcock.
That's
I cede my time. I cede my time, and I cede my plugs.
I yield my time to the good man of Hitchcock. Well, Michael, thank you for doing this. You're the best.
Blast anytime.
Absolutely. Well, if you like this podcast, go give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Interact with us on Instagram at Drag Her Podcast. And yeah.
And if you don't, I'm Michelle Visage. That was one of the jokes. Stella meant to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.